Jerry, I'm not even going to walk all the way back to look at one back there. That's the reason I grabbed yours. No, that's okay. I just, no, you're good. Turn in your, wow, some books. To 738, there we go. And this is a pretty easy song to sing, so Alan, do you mind leading that?
This is such an easy song, I think you might can lead it.
Okay, thank you. I stepped away from the mic because I found out if you stand out there in the foyer that the only person that you hear on those speakers is a song leader. And since you were back there, the only person they would have heard out there was me trying to sing. So that's the reason I stepped away from it, so they wouldn't just hear me out there. As Alan mentioned, Charles called this morning and said he wasn't feeling well, and that somebody would have to take over this morning. So since I'm supposed to start next week in July, I, without thinking, said, I can do it. And nobody said, no, I'll do it. So, okay. But anyway, I am. So we're going to try to do what I'd planned on doing next week. And then I text Charles and said, are you going to want to finish next week? And he said, yes. So he will come back next week and finish what he had planned on doing for today. So we'll have what I'm doing this week, then Charles next week, and then I'll pick up with the rest of the month in July. I want us for just a little while, the four Sundays that I have, I want us to take a stroll through the book of Acts. Not an in-depth study, I was thinking yesterday, a good way to describe it is, you know, when you're out at a lake or a body of water, you can take a little smooth stone, and you can throw it, and it will skip across the water, and you can see it skipping, you can see the ripples in the water, you're just right on top of it. So that's what we're doing, is right on top of it, okay? We're not going to be digging really deep, but we're going to be able to see the power of God's word. That's the reason we sang this song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. And that's what the early Christians did, was they took the name of Jesus with them wherever they went. And so what I want us to do today is to just look at the places where the gospel was preached in the book of Acts. Just skim through it. We might not get all of them. And we might, you know, we might gather all of them. Maybe there's ones that I say that you realize there's other places. But just the places where the gospel was preached. You know, I like the book of Acts. I like to read it. I like to think about it. I like to preach on it. Not that I know everything about it. It's just I like it. Kind of like Lululemon Westerns. I like Lululemon Westerns. I like to read them. I like to just read them over and over and over again. When Debbie has a chemo, a year or so ago, Linda Gowan gave me 2 boxes of Lululemon Westerns. And then Guy's given me some too. But I'll just go out there to that box and I'll just reach in and grab one. It doesn't matter which one it is. I like to read them. So I'll grab one, and while she's doing her chemo and I'm sitting there with her, I'm reading until she needs me to do something. Then I stop reading and help her, which sometimes I'm good helping, sometimes I'm not. But that's another story. But I like to read them. And when I say I read them, it's mainly these Lululemon Westerns. I can tell you the story. So I'm just skimming through the pages, you know, just to be doing something other than sleeping. You know, so I'm skimming through the pages. And that's what I want us to do with the book of Acts, is to just, for the next few weeks, not counting next week because Charlie will be back next week, but just skim through and look at some different things. Today we're looking at places where the gospel was preached. And I was thinking, just to start with, just to name a place. We'll read some scriptures in a minute, but I'm thinking of a riverside down by the river. They preached. They preached in the temple. They preached in the synagogues. They preached from house to house. They preached on a desert road. They preached in prison. They preached in house arrest. They preached before kings, before rulers, before the Sanhedrin Council, before individuals. You go through and you just notice the places that they preached, and they took the name of Jesus. You know, and I think it's, I hadn't opened my Bible yet. Oh, my. In Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, or Acts chapter 8. The beginning of it. On that day, the middle part of verse 1, I think. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. In verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Boy, isn't that a great commentary of what they did? Wherever they went, they preached the word. Now, I read an article years ago in some religious publication along the same subject of what we're looking at this morning. But this guy's article was really critical. And he was critical of a church building. And he used the example of where they preached in Acts, saying that nowhere there do you see that they gathered in a church building. And so he said, do we just need to get rid of all of our church buildings? Well, people, I don't want to get rid of our building. Okay? It's a place for us to come to be together. We could be outside, but it'd be kind of hot. You know, we could stand out under a tree. But my head, I'd have to be wearing a hat or I'd get sunburned, you know, on my head. We could be out by the riverbank, but this building is a place. And I go back to when I read that article years ago, my first thought as I was reading it and listening, reading, you know, understanding what he was talking about, I wanted to call the guy up and say, what about the story of Eutychus? I think it's in Acts 20. They met with the church, but they were in an upstairs room. I took it from that, and as I read that, that's the place where they commonly met. And so there's a church building right there. There's a place where the church met to preach. So I used part of his points, you know, in a lesson, but I didn't use that point because I like our church building. You know, I like being cool. Matter of fact, you know, because I feel the wind blowing on me, it's kind of cold. That's okay. Don't turn the air conditioners down or anything. But it's nice. It's comfortable. But we're here for what purpose? To preach the word. We're here to teach and to share with one another. So our buildings, I'd never say we need to get rid of our buildings unless we want to build a new one. And that's a plan. Somewhere down the road, maybe. You know, when we purchased all this land around us, back in the, when was that, in the 80s, I think it was? The purpose was to build a big auditorium on that lot over there. Maybe one day we'll still get to do that. But right now, our building is perfect. Have plumbing issues sometimes. Have air conditioning issues sometimes. Have water leaks sometimes, you know, but it's still perfect for us to gather together as a body of Christ to preach the word, to talk about serving, to talk about living for God. You know, the verse we read in Acts chapter 8 just a minute ago in verse 3, it mentions that Saul went from house to house. What was he doing? Persecuting the church. Later on, we read where the Christians went from house to house preaching the word. But I read that one time and I thought, wow, Satan does the same thing. Going from house to house to try to destroy the name of Christ. To try to throw it out. Get rid of it. So many places. You know, as you get started right at the beginning in Acts chapter 2. Before we get to chapter 2, turn with me back to Luke chapter 24. Just a couple of verses behind there. But Luke chapter 24, at the very end, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, in verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I have underlined and boxed right here the statement in my NIV that the repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached. Will be preached, not might be preached, but it will be preached in his name. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the power, the promise. And we know the story in Acts chapter 2. as they were together. Verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, and a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. You know, I talked many times about being a fly on a wall. That's one of the places right there. Like to see what that was all about. But you notice it says they were together in one place, and it came to rest on them in the house where they were staying. And they began to preach. They began to teach about Jesus. And that's what chapter 2 is all about. They told the story of Jesus. They told the story of his resurrection. They told the story of his persecutions. And then in verse 36, as Peter is winding up what he's talking, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured that of this God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And the people were amazed. My version says they were cut to the heart. Some versions will say they were pricked to the heart. They were cut. They were touched. They realized at this point they heard what he was saying. And so they asked, "What shall we do?" And we know that next thing where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God called." Then it says, "With many other words." You know, I have a sermon. I got it from, stole it from Bill Bratshoff years ago. What else could they have preached? "With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message was baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day." Again, boy, wouldn't that be great? You know, a couple of Sundays ago, we had a young man that was baptized. And then after services, another young man came up and said, "Can I be baptized today?" So we came back in here and we watched him being baptized, and I was thinking, boy, that's great. Two people today. What was it like that day when there was 3,000? Again, fly on the wall just to see it, or to go back in time. You know, that show we talked about before where they time travel. To go back to time just to see how this took place. If you keep on reading here, verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling the possession and goods they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved." But every day they were together preaching and teaching the message of Christ. They were together, and they were preaching it, and they were teaching it. And then if you just keep on reading, you find Peter and John in chapter 3 are going to the temple at the time of prayer. This is where they helped the man that couldn't walk. Where verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. If you remember, if you've been here for a while, Gary Blakeney years ago did a, on Sunday afternoon, he did a series of, he had some, a movie, a disc or something that talked about the book of Acts. It portrayed them, what happened in the book of Acts. And I still remember this scene right here where Peter and John, and Peter said, I give you what I have. And John is kind of looking like, what are you doing, Peter? We don't have anything. But Peter says, I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. And the man rose up and walked. Not only walked, he jumped and ran. And, you know, I can picture him kicking up his heels. And we did that in a vacation Bible school one year, years ago. What was his name? Killer. He was the young man, and he was real small but agile. He was jumping around and kicking up his heels. And that's how I imagine this. They were preaching the word, and what happened? They went to the temple. The people gathered together. They wanted to know what was going on. It says in verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified the servant Jesus, his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. What is he doing? He's preaching to the people in the temple, using the opportunity to preach. And because of this, they're called before the Sanhedrin in chapter 4. The Sanhedrin said, why have you done this? How did you do this? And Peter tells them, it's by the name. In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for a kindness shown to a crippled, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you of all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. What is he doing? He's preaching the message of Christ to the Sanhedrin, to the Jewish council. And this was where he said, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Powerful verse. Jesus changes your life. You know, in this passage right here, they're told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said that we can't help but preach what we've seen and heard. And in verse 23, after they left, they went to their own people in verse 23, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they prayed. And as you read, you can read their prayer. In verse 29, their prayer was, now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They asked for boldness to preach his word. And notice the verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. God answered their prayers, and that's what the book is, Acts is all about. They spoke the word of God boldly. the last chapter in the book of Acts. Keep your finger here in chapter 4. The last chapter of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. Verse 30 says, "For 2 whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house, welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly, without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." What is he doing? Preaching boldly. And so you read these 28 chapters in Acts. And what are they doing? Preaching boldly the message of Christ. All those problems. There's problems all over. Stephen, if you recall, was arrested. And he preached to the Sanhedrin again. Boldly, the message of Christ. And at the very end, verse 54 and following, they are getting ready to stone him. In verse 56, he says, "Look, I see heaven open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Wouldn't you like to sing that? Then the last thing we read of Stephen, he fell on his knees and prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." But what was he doing? He was preaching to the people, to the mass, to a mob. I think Richard, one time, your kids did a vacation Bible school over in one of our rooms over here, and they did this scene where Stephen was stoned, and they didn't have rocks, but they had paper, you know, that they had wadded up. And I remember them talking about how that as they were teaching that, and they let somebody be Stephen, and let the rest of the class be the mob, and to throw, you know, they had Stephen in the corner, and they was throwing the stones at him, or the paper stones. But I remember, I think it was Mason, might have been Alvin, talking about how that the kids got so wrapped up in it. You know, the mob scene. They got so wrapped up just throwing it and throwing it and throwing it. And that's kind of what you get here, you see here. But did it stop them from preaching? No. He kept preaching, kept praying for them. You know, Acts chapter 8 is the stories of where they were scattered. We read that a few minutes ago. Wherever they went, they preached. They go down, they talk to Simon the sorcerer. Then we have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch going on a desert road, taking the opportunity to preach and teach about Jesus. When Philip came up to the eunuch in verse 34, he says, "Tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" We'll back up first. Verse 30, Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" He didn't have to tell Philip twice. He began to explain it to him. Then Philip began with that very passage in verse 35. That very passage of Scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. Again, what are they doing? Preaching. Telling the message. Even if it's a one person out on a desert road. You know, when I went back in, 1975, that's a long time ago, okay? I had a summer internship as a youth minister at a church in Dallas. And my job was teach the high school class, but also to take the kids that wanted to go with me, like in a they mapped it out, so like a 10-block area around the church building, that we knocked on the doors. We tried to set up home Bible studies. And if they wouldn't have a home Bible study, then we tried to get them to do a Bible correspondence course. Baba, you're familiar with Bible correspondence courses through your prison work. You know, we would, if they wanted to do a Bible correspondence course, we'd take their name and address, we'd take it back to the building and give it to the group that did that on Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night they mailed out the stuff. And then as they sent it back in, they would grade them and send it back to them. They had it was a really big thing they did. But I remember some people would just slam the door in your face. They didn't want to hear it. Some people wouldn't even answer the door. That's the first time, and I'm a pretty little country boy, really. But in the big city, I'd knock on the door, and you could see people through the door walking around, and nobody'd come to the door. And I was thinking, oh, never heard of that in Bertram. If you knock on the door, you answer the door. Some people wouldn't even answer the door. I knocked on one time that had a sign on it said no soliciting, but I knocked on it. I had no clue what no soliciting meant. I found out real quick. So if I went up to another door that said no soliciting, I just went farther on. But preaching the word, we just barely hit this week. Wherever you go, whatever you do. And I'm not talking about, there's a guy in Burnet. Sometimes you drive by, there's a guy in Burnet that would stand out in front of it's a Walgreens parking lot now, with a microphone. He's preaching. That's one way to do it. When we were in Salmon, Idaho years ago, there was a guy standing on the corner preaching. Dale Monroe wanted us as a group to get together and go to the opposite corner and sing about the love of Christ, because he was preaching about the hatred of God, how mean God was. He wanted us to go stand on the opposite corner talking about the love of God. But preaching, teaching, wherever we are, whatever we do, take the name of Jesus with you. Let's have a word of prayer as we conclude this morning. Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Father, for the time that we have to be together as a family. Father, this beautiful building. Thank you that we can be here, Father, and enjoy one another's company, but mainly, Father, to worship and study about you. Help us each day as we go about our work to see those opportunities you give us to share and to let our light shine. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.